Okay, so I'm going to continue where I started last week. I was sharing about visionaries, how to become a leader that shapes the world. And you might think, I am not a leader, but you are. Each and every one of us is a leader. We influence the people around us on one level or another, good or bad. And God wants us to make a great impact on the lives of people. And so I want to take a little bit further this week and speaking about how you can raise up leaders, people around you, but also to help you to become a leader as well. So there are going to be some guidelines for that. Okay, but let me pray for us, and I'm going to share the word. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much. You give us life. You give us opportunity. And you've placed within each of us awesome gifts. You've wired us. You've designed us for purpose, to have an impact on this world, to shape it. And so, God, we pray for each of us, Lord, for a stirring in our hearts to believe it, to believe that I am a leader. God, we pray for that, Lord. We pray for a stirring by your Spirit, an awakening in us to know all things are possible through God. Lord, we worship you. We commit this word into your hands, and we pray that you would minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in October last year, I felt God speak to my heart. I felt God saying that he's going to raise up leaders in this church who will not only have an impact on this community, but have an impact on this nation. Okay, my God is big. He can do that. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can do great things? I believe he can. But what does it take to be a leader, and what is the process or the journey or the path we need to take to grow? So I want to talk a little bit about that. Last week I shared three things that you need to do to become a leader that shapes the world, a visionary. It's about seeing. It's about seeing what other people are not seeing. And those three things you need to see, or two things see and then one thing do. The first thing is you need to see God. You need to be able to see God. Throughout history, the men who shaped the world as Christians, they first saw God. That anchored them, that changed them. Okay, so they saw God. Secondly, you need to be able to see where and what is God doing. Where is his hand at work? You don't want to do as a leader, I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do whatever God is. I want to partner with God with what he is doing. So God is at work everywhere. The question is, are you seeing it? Are you seeing the hand of God? That's very important. And then thirdly, do you have the courage to partner with him? So you're seeing God. You are seeing what he's doing, but do you have the courage now to step out and follow him? Do you have the courage to partner with him? Otherwise, you just remain a dreamer, somebody with great visions, great dreams, but they don't step out. They don't step out. They don't walk out and follow or do whatever God leads them to do. They're not leaders. They're just dreamers. Leaders take risk. Leaders step out. Leaders trust in God. And I'm going to tell you a few stories this morning as well that really impacted me in terms of this, to have the guts to step out. It sort of touched me when Sonica, we were on holiday during December. We were staying with her family, and father-in-law, he has this inflatable little swimming pool thingy. It's about knee-high. And her brother, Sonica's brother, he's an electrician, and so he designed a contraption that heats the water, so it just goes through the heater thing the whole time. And so we were sitting in the evenings, late at night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever, we were sitting nice in this, and we were having a great time. But the one evening, early evening, Sonic and I were sitting with her dad and with her mom. And it was amazing, and it really impacted me what her dad said. He's a teacher by profession. He's now retired. And he just made an amazing confession. As we're sitting there, he said that he always felt that he could be a great headmaster. He could really be a good headmaster. And then he said, but he never had the guts to step out. He never had the guts to go for it. And he probably would have been a better headmaster than the man they had, because he was not a very likable guy. And he actually would have probably done a better job, but he didn't have the guts to step out. And then, interesting enough, Sonika's mom said, I wish I encouraged him in it. He might have done it. I wish I encouraged him in stepping out and become that headmaster. But now his chances, it's over, it's gone. He can never go back. He missed his opportunity. Are you taking hold of your opportunities? Do you have the guts to step out and pursue the call of God on your life? And so that's what I want to talk about. The one hand is, are you seeing God? Are you seeing what he's doing? And do you have the courage to step out? And another level, we're going to talk now about, how do you raise up people? How do you help people to step out and become what God has called them to be? Okay, so just definition from last week, biblical visionary leader. Somebody that has supernatural foresight, they can sort of see into the future, and imagination that enables them to shape the world around them. They have supernatural foresight and also imagination, creative. They think out of the box. They're able to do things differently. And the key here is God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. When you're connected with God, the one who knows everything, the Lord of creation, then it sort of rubs off on us. You can't help yourself. If you're connected with God, you're going to become a visionary. You're going to see things. You're going to do stuff that you never imagined possible. And this is, for me, is amazing. Every time, in terms of as a leader of this church, and just walking with God, is just amazing. When we say have intercession prayer meetings, and God would give us a word, he would give us glimpses into the future, and he'd give us a word, he'd say, this is next, and then it would happen like that. It's just amazing. It's amazing to be able to follow God, to be a leader that's connected with God. It's, you're so safe, because God knows what's coming, and he leads you on that path. It's amazing. So are you connected to God? Are you hearing his voice? Are you seeing what he is saying? Okay, so what is the mission of the church? Matthew 28 in the Message translation. This is just a classic translation. It just says things so interesting. It says here, this is where the Great Commission is given to God's people. It says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. He's speaking to the apostles, and he's speaking to all Christians following after the 12 apostles or 11 apostles. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them. Next one, it is, yeah. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you, and I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. So Jesus, the Great Commission, the Great Command, the traditional word is discipleship, but we don't often understand what that means. It means training. Training people in this way of life. What way of life? The way of Christ. Training people, raising up people, making a difference in people's lives. Why? Why does God want us to do this? This is how you change the world. That's what Jesus did. He raised up 12 guys or 11 guys and influenced some others, and they changed the world. And so he's still calling us to do the same. Now, you have two types of people when it comes to the process of training. You have trainers, those who do the training, and then you have trainees, those who are trained. But there's this obstacle in the way of this process. It's called willingness. Many trainers don't want to train because they're comfortable. It's a bit of a schlep to work with other people when you've got all your life and you've got your priorities and everything's comfortable. So then it's easy just to say, nah, I want to do my own thing. Okay. Then another area, another part is that for the trainees, willingness there as well. But more than willingness, a passion to grow. A passion to grow. Do you have a passion to grow? I remember when I came to the Lord, I was about 18 years old. I was absolutely clueless. I didn't know where the books in the Bible were. I did not know John 3:16, which most people would know after a while as a Christian. And so I remember walking with my student friends and telling them they knew so much. Let's learn John 3:16. Teach me. And we'd be walking and they're saying, for God so loved the world. And I'd say, for God so loved the world. I just wanted to learn. I had this hunger. I had this unstoppable hunger to grow. How's your hunger? How's your hunger? Do you desire to grow? Are you willing to make sacrifices to grow? Are you willing to be a trainee? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, teach me, show me? And when I started off, especially, I was just learning from everybody, and they were so holy and so amazing. Until you get closer and you find out Christians are just normal people as well. Not so holy, not so amazing. We can learn so much. So where are you at? Are you willing? But more than that, is there a hunger in your heart? And so in a sense, you and I need to be both. You need to be a trainer and a trainee for the rest of your life. A trainer and a trainee. You can train others, but you must always be willing to learn. That's a mark of a leader. Okay, so how do you train? How do you raise up other people around you to be visionaries that shape the world? Well, three things. Number one, you need to see people. Talk about that. You need to see people. Number two, you need to determine where are they at. And number three, you need to encourage them to take the next step. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about this morning. To help you, you can apply this in your job situation. You can apply this with whoever, friends, wherever, but especially in church. We believe God is saying He wants to raise up leaders so we can influence the world. Okay, so let's look at the first one. See people. I'm going to give you a picture of a great leader. I'm going to give you a picture of a terrible, terrible leader. Luke 7. Now, Jesus was gifted at raising up leaders. He had an ability to take nobodies and make them into great somebodies, influencers, visionaries, world changers. And so we have a portion of scripture here where Jesus goes to a Pharisee's house and he goes to eat there, and then there's this interaction between Jesus, the Pharisee, and an immoral woman, a down-and-out nobody. So it says there, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, probably a prostitute, from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. So they were reclining at a table. They sort of reclined, you lay down, and so she was at his feet. And says, then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. My goodness. She's like a prostitute. But the amazing thing here is, and connecting with last week's message, this sinful woman saw Jesus. And it impacted her so powerfully that she would go to where he is and have the courage to ignore all the judgmental stares of all these Pharisees, to break custom and in a sense fall at his feet and worship him extravagantly. You know, this woman saw Jesus. She realized who he is. This is the Son of God. And so that overflowed with passion when she saw him. But the Pharisee, on the other hand, didn't have a clue. He couldn't even see this woman and see her value. He judged her. He looked down upon her. Do you know what? You and I do the same sometimes. We look down on people. We do what the Pharisee did. We look down at certain types of people and we judge them. And we miss the value of somebody. We miss, we don't realize that Jesus loves this person so much that he died for them. Do you know what's a good test for where you are at? Ask yourself, do I esteem people higher than myself? Because you see, our hearts are deceitful. They lie to ourselves. And so every now and again, you find yourself in a situation thinking, I am not esteeming this person higher than myself. Which means I'm proud. Which means I'm blind. Because pride blinds. You will not be able to see God, and you will not be able to see or value people. Do you esteem people higher than yourself? Do you esteem nobodies higher than yourself? I think that's a massive challenge. Massive challenge for all of us. But it really comes down to the love of God. Do we esteem others higher than ourselves? Anyway, so this Pharisee was blinded, and he could not see the value of this sinful woman. You and I have no right to lead people if we do not like them. You and I have no right to lead people if we do not like them. I have been a pastor at certain places and times of my life where I could honestly have said, I don't like these people. Well, not all of them, but some of them. But I would say that I'm in a relatively good space at this time. And I could say, I like the people in this church. So you've made it. Good. Well done. But so often when we focus on leadership, it's about producing. You're gifted, you've got skill, you make things happen. You will never achieve what you've been called to achieve if you don't like people. You will just use them and step on them in the end. And you will not achieve your full potential. We need to like people more than that. We need to love people. But it's a good place to start is like. Okay, let's look further at the scripture. Verse 44. Jesus and the man, they were talking a little bit, and then it comes to this critical question. I often come back to this. This is spoken to me so powerfully. Then turning toward the woman, this Jesus, he said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? That's for me like a snippet out of the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Are you seeing, Simon, or are you blind? Are you seeing, Simon, or are you missing it? Obviously, he was missing it. He was blind. He couldn't value this person. And then Jesus goes on to say, I entered your house. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. What's happening here? Jesus is saying, Simon, you are blind. You can't even see who I am. This nobody, sinner, rejected outcast of society, she realizes who I am. And she's worshiping me. She is pouring out her love upon me. And here I am, and you, the religious one, the one who should know better, you can't even see me. And you don't give me any of these things. You didn't wash my feet, you wash my... Simon, you're blind. Blind. And I want to connect that again with last week. A leader cannot be a true leader if they don't see God. Are you in love with Jesus? The rest is pointless if you don't get that. The rest is a waste of time because you will go astray, as I said last week. Do you love Jesus? Is he your passion? Is he your passion? Can you get excited about him? Are you thankful about what he has done for you? Are you seeing him? That's powerful. Changed my life. Many of us change our lives when you fall in love with Jesus. It's critical. And see, the thing is, he didn't see Jesus, and so he couldn't see people. But when you and I meet with God, when you and I see Jesus, when you and I get connected to his heart, you start loving people. You can't help yourself. I'm sure many of us can testify. I was like that. I've told this before, but I was like when I was in high school or so. I don't always get so well with people. I had some issues and things. I was a bit of a broken individual. But I loved my dogs. I loved my two dogs. And I loved them more than people. Because people just hurt you. People just drop you. People just fail you. I loved my dogs. Then I became a believer. Now I like dogs. I love people. Because Jesus touched my heart. Jesus changed me. Has he touched your heart? Has he touched your heart? Do you esteem others higher than yourself? You cannot be a leader if you don't love people, if you don't like people. As I said, the key is first to see Jesus. So what brings fulfillment for a leader? I was speaking to some of the leaders in the church in this week, and I told them, it's blessed when the church grows. It's wonderful when there are more people coming to church. But if I can be honest, that doesn't excite me nearly as much as when I see somebody growing. As nearly as much as when I see somebody's life that is changed than numbers per se. God wants a leader's passion to be seeing the people around him set free, growing, whole, healed, blessed, flourishing. That is the leader's passion. That is the leader's focus. But then you get some types of leaders, they're positional leaders. They don't have relationship. They don't become biblical leaders. They focus on how I can use, how I can control, what I can get out of people. And I said last week as well, but I don't want to be, you've heard the statement that it's lonely at the top. It's lonely at the top. Only when you're a bad leader, it's lonely at the top. It's a lie that says it's lonely at the top. A real leader, a biblical leader, a Jesus leader takes the people to the top with him. And I've prayed for years. I've said, God, I don't want to be the pastor in the church. I want to be friends. I want to have friends with me, do ministry with me. I don't want to be the boss. I want friends. I want to do life together. And it's amazing what God is doing. He is answering those prayers. Don't want to be lonely at the top. I want everybody there with me. Eh? How about that? Do you want to go with me to the top, to wherever God leads? That should be our passion. Okay, so the first thing is see people. Okay, we're going to go a little bit quicker. Second one, see where they are at. And I want to give you a bit of a metaphor to help us. We're going to get back to this during the rest of the year of how to grow people, how to help people grow. In the Chinese church, in the late 1940s, there were a few hundred thousand Christians in China. Then massive persecution came. All the foreigners were thrown out. The pastors were put into jail. And, I mean, the communists, they want to shut down every church. They wanted to get no Bibles in the country. They believed it's the end of Christianity. But the opposite happened. Christianity in China flourished. Today, they estimate 80 to 100 million plus people from a few hundred thousand. And a friend of mine, he was in China recently, and they worked with some of the pastors there, and he said he was just amazed. They have this motto in terms of discipleship or training people. If you have read one more verse than somebody else, you can disciple them. You can train them. That's beautiful. So you have to have that when the church is growing exponentially. You have to have everybody is a trainer. Everybody is a leader. Everybody is making an impact. So today you've come to Christ and you've read one verse, John 3:16. Awesome. You know enough to go and disciple others. Go. And may the Lord be with you. And God is with them. The power of God's Spirit in the Chinese church is just amazing because they're so dependent upon Him. But here with us in general Western Christianity, sure, when do you feel ready for leadership? Don't know. Maybe when I'm a little bit older. Someday. No. We should stop our excuses. You are ready. You have got so much to give. If you're at school or primary school, high school, primary school, wherever, you have so much to give. We need just to wake up. We just need to change our way of thinking. I've got so much to give. So I want to give you four things, the four P's of empowerment. Just mention them just to help you determine where is somebody at. I want to put on the cross there, sort of a metaphor. We're going to get back to this, so you need to focus. Focus. Don't know sleeping now. Okay. The horizontal bar. These are four areas of growth. The cross is for you to help remember. The horizontal bar speaks about relationship, the horizontal connection with people. How's the connection with people? So, helping people to connect with people. That's the one area of growth or discipleship or training. Why is this important? As I said earlier, if you and I do not have good relationships with people, we will never achieve what God wants us to achieve. So I want to ask this. This is a test for you. How's your relationship with people? Are there many strained relationships? Battling? For instance, for a leader, for us, the end of my leadership, everything, is if my marriage fails. Game over. Let's go home. My success depends upon my marriage and my relationship with my wife. Good relationship, we can make it. If it's falling apart, everything else falls apart. Okay. Relationship is the core for the Christian, for the believer. Okay. So, how's your relationship? It's irrelevant how gifted you are. You can be the most gifted man on the planet. If your relationships are falling apart, you will not achieve your full potential. Good news is you can grow in it, okay? So even if you're battling, you can grow in it and you can move forward. Okay, so the first one, horizontal bar, is people. Okay, can you say people? People. Okay, right. Vertical bar. How's your connection with God? Peace. How's your peace? How's your connection with God? Have you reconciled with God? Are you at peace with Him? A leader can't be a leader if he doesn't have peace. When I don't have peace, I stop the boat and I pray until I get my peace back, because then I am in tune again. When you have peace, supernatural peace, then you're connected. When you don't have that peace, you're not connected. And I see this. This is scary for me when I see Christians who want to do great things for God, they want to change the world for God, but they are not connected. They're not spending time with God. They don't have peace with God. And so they make what is called presumptive decision-making. They make presumptuous decisions. They assume God wants to do this, so they just do it. But they never ask, God, should I do this? And so it's just chaos. I see this over and over again in people's lives. Chaos upon chaos, because people presume, but they're not connected. They're not praying. They're not, they don't have the peace. And so they cannot be led by God. Okay, they're walking in the flesh. That's basically what it comes down to. And this is so important for a leader, for anybody. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God reign in your heart. Let the peace of God reign in your heart. For instance, with Sonic and me, it quite often happens that we feel like almost burdened in different areas. And we have learned this now. If one of us is burdened, then we say, let's go worship. Then Soneka gets onto the piano and we worship almost every day. And then we get peace. And God comes and we connect it and we can hear His voice. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Peace. If you don't have peace, you will find yourself in trouble. Okay, so we have some courses as well, some tools to help with this. For instance, the relational side, the foundation 2, the community one that's coming up. And then with the peace side, foundation 1, the perspective seminar helps you to connect with God. Okay, third one. So we have the peace. Third one is now you've connected. Now the download. What's the, how's the download? It's the power. Is the power of God at work in your life? Is the Spirit of God at work in your life? Is the Word of God ministering to your heart? So there's a download that comes from God. And this is, why is this important? For us, you will always have a limit to your ability until you start living by the power of God. And so we want to help people to live by the power of God. That's also the Perspective Seminar. We help people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And also then it comes down to daily infilling of the Spirit. Then the fourth one, purpose. The power is the inflow or the downflow into us. And then the purpose is the outflow, the arms that go out. The arms that go out. Is there an outflow in our lives? Is there an outflow? And why is this critical? I believe exponential blessing comes when you and I start living and walking in our purpose. When you determine your gifts, you determine your abilities, and then you determine God's will for your life, and you start walking in that. And then exponential growth happens in terms of your relationships, plus your connection, your peace with God, plus the download of God. All of that is then exponentially released in your life when you step into your purpose. Okay, does it make sense? It's just very short. We're going to get back to this in the year to come. I just wanted to mention this, especially in the small groups. We're going to be speaking about this to help you guys in terms of that. So are you growing in one of these areas? Or is there a massive disconnect? Are you really disconnected with God? Are you really just living by your own ability? You're burdened, you're stressing, you're struggling. You're not connected to the power of God. Are you completely out of the will of God? You're not living the purpose. You're not walking according to your gifts. You're walking according to, you're just there. Then you're not going to become everything God has called you to be. Okay. So how do you find out where you are at? Now, this is very important. This is sort of the most important thing I want to share this morning. I got this word during the holidays, and I really felt God wants to speak this to us. Proverbs 15, verse 10. Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. In other words, you lose track, you go off track, you're going to get into trouble. Whoever hates correction will die. Whoever hates correction will die. Okay, let me ask this. Who loves correction? Huh? Oh, please just correct me. No, nobody likes it. Nobody likes correction. But the challenge here is, whoever hates correction will die. And so I often work with people. I don't work with people, but I meet people, and I can see their blind spots. Do you know it's very easy to see other people's blind spots? We all see other people's blind spots. We don't see our own. I see the blind spots, but I know there is no way I could ever tell that person then. They will be offended out of their lives and run away from God or whatever. There are so few people that say, I want to grow. Tell me, where can I grow? Where can I grow? Tell me. Is there anything you see in my life that you think I should work at? And so the thing is not about us correcting people. Obviously, you have to have the courage sometimes to do that. But more than that, we need to create a culture where we say, I want correction. Please give me, show me, tell me where is my blind spot. So you can start with that today. If you're a husband, ask your wife, honey, possibly any area that you think possibly I maybe need to grow in. I'm sure she'll have a few things to say. Trust me. Or a wife to her husband, or a friend, colleague, leader. Do you have the courage? Are you passionate enough about growing? That you would be willing to give somebody that you trust the right to speak into your life and say, is there one area where you think I should grow in? Sonic and I often speak about our lives and things, and I look back at my life, I was terrified of correction because it's like, if I need correction, then it sort of cancels my very identity because I was so insecure. And we need to come to a place where we say, I am secure in God. I am secure in Christ, but I'm still growing. I need to grow a lot. I need to learn. And we need the people around us to speak to us. Do you have the courage to give somebody that you trust the right to say, right, is there any area that you think I should grow in? Please tell me. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Because I see this. Those who do not get correction, they die. They suffer. They battle in these four areas of growth. Some people battle relationally, but they're not open to admit that. Some people battle with their connection with God, but they're not necessarily open to admit. They're not connecting with the power of God, but not open necessarily to. They're not walking in their purpose, but they're not open for somebody to tell them that. So this is my sort of challenge to you. If you really want to grow, ask somebody. Is there an area that you feel I should work at? And then the second question. You are planning to do something. Do you know how most of us do it? You just inform people. Some husbands with their wives. Honey, are we going to move to Australia next week? Goodbye. Now, I don't want to talk about it. I'm the head. I've made my decision. That's a little extreme, but some people do that. Stupid. You're going to suffer all the way to Australia and for the rest of your life. Okay. Because you're being a bad leader. Before you make a decision, big decisions, do you go to your friends and say, sure, I am planning to do this. What do you think about this? Oh, it's terrible for me when I have friends and they don't ask me. And then I see it. I tell Sonica, there's a nightmare coming. You know what? It came because they didn't ask. So I don't know. Maybe there's some of us here that needs that. Maybe you don't. But ask, what do you think? Is this a good idea? Okay, that's the second one. And then quickly finishing off with the third one. Okay, so you determine where is the person at. You determine where am I at. What is the areas I need to grow in? And then you ask yourself, what is the next step? How am I going to grow? How am I going to deal with this? Because it's funny. It's like sometimes we assume as well that if I'm just deeply spiritual, everything's going to be fine. No. There's some very practical stuff that needs to be put into place in terms of our relations with our wife or people around us, etc. Okay, so encourage people to take the next step. Just the next step, not the next 100. Imagine God comes to you and says to you, okay, Quibus, I am perfect. You are not. Let me quickly give you a list of everything you need to change so you can become like me. Whew. Will you be demoralized? I'm sure you would. I would too. Imagine a perfect being coming, telling you everything you need to change so you can be more like him. It will freak you out. But God loves us. He's patient. He's kind. So what does he do? He comes and says, Francois, for the next 6 months, man, I think we need to work at that. You're now married and everything. Work that toilet seat, brother. Come on. Just get it down. You can do it. Okay? So God is very gentle. Not like me. But he comes, this is one thing. Just the next step. The next step of growing. Okay, so I don't want to focus on the next step. Not somebody comes and you say, what do you think I should work at? And then you take the bazooka and you blow the poor person apart. Okay? Not a good idea. Okay, so you must focus on encouragement. There's a well-known CEO, founder of a large company in America, who's a Christian, and he said, do you know how I identify someone who needs encouragement? If the person is breathing, they need a pat on the back. If they are breathing, just check, pulse, encourage them. It's amazing how much encouragement we need. All of us, we need encouragement. Become the chief encourager of your team or of your friends. Give them courage. As I shared about Sonica's mom or dad, if her mom just encouraged her dad. Say, honey, you can do it. I think you'll be a great headmaster. Go for it. He might have gone for it. My chief encourager is Sonica. And every now and again she tells me, you can do it. I believe in you. I'm with you. It's going to work. Do you have an encourager in your life? If you don't, just become an encourager at least. Mother Teresa said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are endless. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are endless. The ushers can just get us the communion elements. We're just going to have communion in a moment. If somebody is breathing, give them encouragement. And if you can't think of anything nice about them, keep on seeking until you find something and you can say, this is so cool about you. You're just so los, this so wonderlijk. Whatever. I just like you. Every single person has great and amazing qualities. And we must sometimes just look and say, oh, I see it, and you can say it. Encourage them. Encourage them in it. It'll make a massive difference. So I want to read Matthew 28, verse 20. And that's in a sense why we're going to have communion now, is because we're basically saying, God, we need your help. We want to grow. We want to move forward. We know you want us to impact the nations, this community, our areas of influence. And we want to say yes to it. We want to say yes to growing in you. Matthew 28, verse 20. This is the last bit. It says there, where Jesus says, after he's given the great commission, he says, I'll be with you as you do this. And could I maybe have the worship team as well? It's Mark von speaking Masik. And you can put on your prayer list for us as a church, air conditioning. Sure. I don't care how much it costs. I want it. Because Christians are going to heaven, not hell. Huh? So this is very ungodly to suffer in this heat. Christians should have air con. See, I've now just proven to you out of the Bible. Christians must have aircon. So Jesus spoke, and he gave this commission to all of his followers. And he said, go and train everyone, far and near. Go and train. And then this beautiful statement, I'll be with you as you do this. Do you want Jesus to be with you? Commit to train other people in this way of life, in the way of Christ. Commit to grow people, help people grow, and commit to grow as an individual. If you want to be a visionary, if you want to really have an impact, you need to commit to grow. I'll be with you as you do this. And then last scripture, John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. It says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So Jesus is praying here for all of us. That they may all be one. One in heart. One in focus. One in passion. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So we're going to pray that God would unite us. One heart. God, we want to help people grow. Even if they are far from God, we want to help them to Jesus. And then to help them grow in God. And then verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is saying, you might feel inadequate. You might feel you can't do it. But the same glory that God the Father gave Jesus so that he could transform the world, Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. His Spirit that guides us and leads us. And so we want to thank God for his Spirit this morning. I want to say this, and this is sort of a sometimes very challenging, but and very confusing. But there are so many Christians in this world who want to change the world, who want to flow in the supernatural, who wants to do great things for God, but they're not at all in tune with where they are at. They do not have the character. Their relationships are falling apart. They do not pay their taxes. They do not steward. They don't manage their finances. They go into massive debt. They're such a bad testimony to God, but they want to go deep. And we need to get real about some stuff. And this is my personal passion, is I so want Christians to have character. And not blow up. Because that's unfortunately what happens. Churches sink. Leaders sink. Christians' lives fall apart. They Jesus on Sunday, but they sleep around. That's not Christ-like. That's not Christian. That's not holy. And so we need to get real. We need to go and look in the mirror and say, where am I at? Okay, I'm nowhere. Wonderful. Jesus can change you. As he has changed me. As he's changed so many of us. And so that's my heart. That we would grow. Be real, be honest, be sincere. If you mess up, say you're sorry. It's not supposed to be mature Christianity. Just basic, I'm sorry. I often say to my wife, I'm sorry. And then she says, oh, so you think that makes everything right? Yes? Sort of. God has given us his glory. So we can be changed. So we can be real. And then truly impact the world. The world is they're tired of hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want us to be hypocrites. And it starts by just saying, okay, God, I need to grow. I need to grow. Let's close our eyes and pray for us. And so when you feel, sorry, just to say this as well, when you feel down, out, you feel you're not worthy, you're not good enough, then you just come to the cross and you thank Jesus that he's given everything for you so that you can be worthy, so that you are worthy. So we're going to come to the cross now. Father, we thank you for the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much that you died for us on the cross. You shed your very own blood. So that we who have been blind and some of us who are still blind can see. So that we can see so that we can see you, Lord. And so, God, we thank you that there is no mountain big enough that intimidates you. There is no challenge big enough that you can't help us to overcome, whatever personal character issues there might even be. You've given us your glory. And so, God, we thank you for your body was broken so we can partake of that glory. Let's eat together. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your life you have given so that we might come alive. God, I thank you that we are not where we want to be. But thank you, Jesus, we are not where we were a few years ago or a few weeks ago. Thank you, God, for the growth that we have experienced in our lives. Thank you for the changes you have made. Thank you for the salvation you have brought to us. And maybe for some of us, thank you for an opportunity to come and surrender all, to come to salvation. Just take a moment and thank God for everything He has done in your life. Thank you. We serve a good God. Drink together. Thank you, God, that we can remember everything you've done for us on the cross. You have overcome sin and the power of it. You've overcome death and the power of it. You have set us free. God, we receive that glory. We receive that unity. We receive it, God. So I want to ask you this morning. I've always liked to give an opportunity to respond to the word. Do you want to grow? My question to you. Do you want to be a visionary leader? Do you want to impact this world? Do you want to, with all your heart, you say, I want to grow. And then secondly, would you be willing to say yes to train others? Teach others, to help others, to take them by the hand and lead them wherever God leads. Would you be willing to step out of your comfort zone and say, God, I know my one scripture. I'm going to run with it. Would you be willing to? More than willing, do you want to? So I just want to ask if you, either one of those two, if you want God to do that in you, if it's not there yet, whatever, would you just stand and just say, God, that's me. I don't just want to. I'm not just willing, but I want to. I want to. I want to. I want to grow. I really want to grow. I want to grow so I can be a good leader for the people in this church. I want to grow. I want to help others grow as well. or is the power of peer pressure? Just as we close our eyes, just for a moment. We're almost finished. If you are here this morning and you have not committed your life to Jesus, you've never been in love with Him. He's never been your passion. Never. Or maybe you've strayed away and you realize you need to turn back to Him. If that is you, would you just, as every eye is closed, would you just raise your hand to acknowledge? Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hand high. You can see. Okay. Anybody else? You can't be a world changer. You can't influence the world until you come to Jesus. You can't go to heaven until you come to Jesus. You can't be set free from your sin until you come to Jesus. You can't truly grow until you come to Jesus. I sometimes meet friends from school. They've never come to Jesus. Do you know what? They haven't changed a bit. They're still the same. I've changed. I've met Jesus. So I want to ask again, anybody here, if you just raise your hand if you want to turn to Jesus this morning. Pray together with those who raise their hands. Just sort of a commitment to God to give our lives to Him. Just repeat. Let everyone, if you feel comfortable, just repeat after me. And say, Father God, thank you that you love me so much. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. And I confess, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, set me free. Lord Jesus, make me new. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I just want to pray for the rest of us. Father God, you know, Lord, that a standing up from our seats is just a small token, a small reaching out to you, saying, I want to grow. I want to become everything you've called me to be. But God, more than that, greater than that, I want those around me to become everything you've called them to be. And Lord, I want to be an instrument in your hands, each of us, God, an instrument in your hands to help them, to bless them, to encourage them to become all you've called them to be. And so, God, I pray that you raise up encouragers in our midst. God, we pray that you help us to find out where are we at so we can know what is the next step. God, we pray for accountable relationships where we would ask our friends, colleagues, loved ones, leaders, tell me, where do you think should I grow? What's my blind spot? God Almighty, I pray that you give us the courage to start living the life of a real Christian who's secure in you. God, we thank you for this. And then, God, we ask, help us to see people. Help us to value people. Help us to celebrate people. Help us, God, just fill our hearts with your love. Unquenchable, unstoppable love. The love of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you for that. Let's just sing the song just as a proclamation of saying, God, there's freedom in this place, and your Spirit is welcome to work in our midst. And we're ending off with this. And I just want to encourage you just to open your heart, that God can just downpour something inside of you. And we're going to have cold water in a moment. So we're almost there. God, we thank you for freedom in this place, Lord. For us, God, to grow in you, Lord. May this place be, God, a place where we can send people out into the world to change it. God, have your way in us. Thank you for your blessing on each one of us for this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. And may a cool wind blow upon you this day. So as my seentjie sê, Papa, koue liggie, koue liggie. It's the aircon. It's on my prayer list. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, join us for some coffee. Bless you.